Tonight we're going to close our series, Understanding Prophecy is the series that we're in. And tonight I'm going to talk about learning to prophesy. This is really the mechanics. It's a lot of the pragmatic, the practical things to prophecy. Actually, when we've been going over this, the prophetic gift and ministry and all that kind of stuff, I've just noticed a lot of the questions that have arisen. And they really are a lot of the practical mechanics. Like, how does this really work? And what does this look like when you're in the real world? Or what does it look like when you're in the church? And they're two different arenas of life that we are a part of. And so I've just noticed how the questions that come are really towards that end of things. And so I really hope to answer all those questions, or most of them anyways, within this sermon tonight. The message tonight has a lot of that to it. So it won't be long, and it doesn't have a lot of passages involved, but it really is that kind of side of things. And so it's kind of the fun side of the prophetic. But I always talk about when you're learning to prophesy, you truly learn to prophesy. Or we're talking about hearing God and speaking to people. You truly learn it by doing it. If you don't exercise that ability, that gift, first you pursue it, and then you learn what it is, what it's like, and how to use it a little bit in church. But then if you don't learn to exercise that gift that God's put here, that ministry of the Spirit, you never actually come to a more mature place of doing it more regularly, more relationally. Okay, we're looking to be more relational and less religious to the world around us, correct? We're wanting to relate to the world. We're wanting to bring God's heart in a relational way, in an understandable way. And that takes time, because the more we're able to take what God is saying to us and communicate it on a level where people that don't even have to know God can understand, that it just takes a lot more time. It takes a lot more, hundreds and hundreds of times being able to do that. Hundreds of risks before you're really seasoned and mature. Maybe thousands. And it can happen every day, and it can be simple. It doesn't have to be level 10 significance. It can be as simple as what somebody said to a friend of mine one day when my friend was sitting in Burger King and his life was in the toilet, and a guy came up to him at Burger King, sat down at the table. He was in a booth, and he sat down in the booth in front of him and looked him in the face and just said, "I want you to know that Jesus really loves you." And he gave him a card to a church service kind of thing that he was going to be at. And my friend was just contemplating his life and didn't know Jesus. And he took that card and he went to that church that night, gave his life to Jesus. Because some guy had the nerve to sit down at a booth at Burger King and tell a guy that Jesus loved him. Doesn't sound real prophetic, but for my friend, it was as prophetic as it could have ever been, because he was in the middle of discerning what he needed to do in his life, because it was in the toilet. Okay, so sometimes you don't need much when you're not doing well. You just need something. Okay, when a man's poor, he may not need a meal at Outback Steakhouse. Okay, but if you give him a piece of bread, he's still grateful. You understand? I mean, food's good. Okay, and we just need to get that down into us and say it's good to give away something. We don't have to give away this entire thing, that unless it's this significant, it's really not powerful. That's absolutely not true. You learn to prophesy, you have to understand that whatever you have to give, whatever's from God, no matter how small or how big it is, it's always good. People need what God has. We need what God has. And so we look at it that way. But we're learning to prophesy through prophesying. Okay, so you look at this in Romans chapter 12. This is sort of the verse where Paul talks about exercising spiritual gifts. And I'll read it. In verse 5, he says, "So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Then he goes on to say, "We have different gifts according to the grace that's given us." And earlier today, we went over gifts are given sovereignly. God gives gifts sovereignly of his own choice. God also gives gifts through the impartation of the laying on of hands. We see that in Timothy. And God also gives gifts through our pursuit. Remember, earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Paul invites us to pursue spiritual gifts for the sake of helping other people, not for feeling spiritual, not for feeling powerful, not for having a platform, none of that stuff, but for the sake of helping people, we can pursue spiritual gifts. There's an invitation in Scripture for that reason. So gifts are given all kinds of different ways, but in here he's saying, We have different gifts according to the grace given us. And he goes on to say, if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in the proportion to his faith. If a man's gift is prophecy, if he has a prophetic ability in his life, then he is to use it to the measure of his faith. Okay, we each have a measure of faith. The scripture is very clear about that. You have a measure of faith. You trust God to a level. Now, God is ever increasing that level, right? So you, some of us, you know, we come into the faith at level 5. Some of us come in at level 8. You notice that? Like sometimes people come to Jesus and they're like full throttle, right? We're going to wreck the world for God and take no prisoners, right? Everybody's going to heaven and that's it, right? And then some people come in at level 2. Some people come in at level 2 and God chooses that. We don't choose that. So if a person thinks of himself more spiritually because of what God gave, then that's a bad place to be. But God gives, he designates a measure of faith. But there's also this thing about ever-increasing faith. So wherever you come into knowing the Lord, it doesn't mean that's where you stop. That's just where you come into to know the Lord. Okay. So, but then your faith grows. So like you trust God for salvation. And then you trust God that for something else, or you trust God that he'll use you, right? You start trusting for that. Then you start trusting God to use you in power. You trust God to use you in service. Your faith grows not in who God is, but also how he'll use you. So you use the gifts of the Holy Spirit in proportion to the measure of your faith. And it's sort of like saying, Paul's exhorting the church here. It's like saying, all of you have bodies, right? And so we're all, let's say we all go to the gym. Some of us, based on where we're at, our capacity, our ability, where our body is at in terms of how we work out and how we, the shape that we're in, some of us can work out for 2 hours. Some of us can work out for 20 minutes, right? Okay, stretching it, right? We all have a body. We all have a body. And the idea is that you need to work out to the measure of your capacity. Go all the way to the limit, okay? If you can work out for an hour and a half, if you can bench press 200, work out your full capacity. That's what he's saying. He's saying each one has a gift, and you need to use it or exercise it in the measure of that of faith that you've been given. So you need to, all the way to the level of your capacity, max it out. God will give you more, but you have to max out. It's like exercising. You got to max it out. How many of you love exercising and maxing it out, right? You know, when you're done and you know you worked out, when you feel like that. I know I do. I think I did it last week and I could barely walk and it was great. And then you're back next week or something. It's like, I'm going to take a week off. Thanks. Yeah. Yeah, right on. So, but the idea is that we all have one. We all have this ability and you need to max it out. So some of us, we can believe God to be used for, being up front, right? It takes a level of faith to do that. Some of us would never want to do something like that. That's not where we are. But some of us can be, you know, we can maximize our gift in a small group, like 3 people. We feel really comfortable doing that. That might stretch us a little bit, but you max out the gift that you have, right? You step out with what you have. We need to maximize the gift. He's saying exercise the gift. And I want to tell you, when you exercise the gift, the prophetic ability that God gives you, just the sense that you have, when you do that, I just want to tell you, it increases. Your capacity increases. The measure, the word measure, proportion to your faith, it's like a tape measure. The word literally means like it's like a measure, like a tape measure is 6 feet. And you need to exercise the gift all the way as far as you can go, as far as your faith will allow you to go. And then you ask God for more, and then you know what happens. You get hungry, you get more passionate, you want to be used by God because you see people's lives getting changed. When you see people's lives getting changed, you're more hungry to be used by God. That's what I'm addicted to, right? I mean, I'm addicted to seeing people's lives changed. I mean, Jesus, I love the story of Jesus in John chapter 4. It's one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible. In John chapter 4, Jesus comes to this woman at the well, and obviously you know the story. She's a Samaritan, he's a Jew, and on goes the story, right? Jews aren't supposed to be talking to Samaritans because they're half Jewish and half whatever, and that's just not normal in their society. And so the disciples are away, and Jesus sits down sort of close to her. She's drawing from the well. He says, "Woman, would you get me some water? And don't you know I'm a Samaritan?" And he's like, "Well, you don't know who I am." And then they have this dialogue about who he might be, and he's like, "Well, do you want some living water? If you knew who was asking of you and you knew the drink that he could give you, you realize that the living water would cause you to never thirst again." And she's like, "I want this water, sir." And he ends up revealing that he is the Messiah. And she's not kind of getting it at the time. And so she goes, he goes on in this conversation, go get your husband. And she says, well, I don't have a husband. He goes, oh, you're right. You've had five husbands and the man you're with right now is not your husband. Sir, I think you're a prophet. And he goes, yeah, something like that. And even more than a prophet. And then they have this dialogue about who he is. And then she goes to a village in Samaria and she stirs up the city. And the Bible says that the whole city, actually says, when you read it in John chapter 4, it says the whole city came out to see him. And when they come out to see him, they say this, we believed because of her testimony of what you did. That, I mean, personal prophecy. This is what personal prophecy did. It brought people to know Jesus. Okay, out and about, lifestyle stuff. One word, one designated specific word from God could stir up a city. It did in Jesus' time. So the city comes out and says, we believe because of her testimony, but now we believe because we've seen you. So now they believe not just through her testimony, they believe because they've actually met Jesus for themselves. That's sort of one of the goals of having spiritual gifts, ministering in spiritual gifts to people, ministering in prophecy in the capacity that we've been given. That is one of our goals. But the interesting thing is that when the disciples come back and they see Jesus talking to this woman, this is what they say. They're like, well, they don't say what they imply, but they say, hey, Jesus, do you want some food? And he goes, let's go get some food. And he goes, I have food that you know nothing about. And they're like thinking to themselves, did Jesus already eat? I didn't see that. Did he already have something to eat? And he's watching them, right? These guys don't get it. He's like, no, I have food that you know nothing about. He goes, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. My food, listen, what I'm hungry for, okay, what I'm eating, what feeds me, what feeds my soul is to do the will of the Father. So while you guys are away, while you're thinking about lunch, while you guys are thinking about getting your eat on, okay, thinking about going Outback Steakhouse after the meeting, when you guys are thinking about all, I'm thinking, I am hungry for God the Father moving through me in ways where people's lives are penetrated. That's what I'm most hungry for. I'll put off lunch for that. You see, I'll fast for that. I'll put away what my body says I need for that. I'm hungry for that. I have food you don't know anything about. This is what I'm hungry for, right? Sometimes that's the problem with us is that we want lunch. We're too busy doing the thing that our body says we need, that we're missing the opportunities that are right in front of us. As you understand, you've been through this. I mean, and so have I, right? And so the question that I have is, how do we start prophesying? And I want to talk to you just a little bit about a couple things. You have them on your notes there. How do we start prophesying? We're going to talk a little bit about the world, how we're going to start ministering. Jesus just lived this kind of a life, right? It wasn't like he had to, he didn't have to attend the class. We're doing a class so that we can activate ourselves into a lifestyle where this becomes normal. We're just reaching out to people is normal, but doing it in the power of his Spirit where it's actually relational, it's still penetrative, it has power, it's substance, and we're listening to the Lord. We're learning to do this. And the first thing I encourage people to do is you got to learn to tune in. You have to learn to tune in. When you go into a store, or you go into a restaurant, or you go into your job, or you go into your school, or you go into a hospital, or wherever you live, wherever you're planted, your neighborhood or whatever, you have to learn to be aware of your environment. I mean, if you go into the supermarket and you just go to get whatever you need to get and to get the heck out of there, and that's what you're concerned about, you're going to miss all of these opportunities that might be what you're praying for. We wake up, we go, God, use me today. God, I want to touch people's lives. I want to do what you told me to do. I want to change the world around me. I want to impact people. I want to see people blessed the way you bless me, Lord. The same way you chased me down and you sent people to me and they talked to me about Jesus and they loved on me. All those kind of things, Lord. I want you to use me to do that. But then we go into the supermarket or we go somewhere and we just point A to point B, right? And then we get back in our car and we go home and we get up in the morning and pray the same prayer. You see, you can't live that kind of a life when you're praying that kind of a prayer. You have to learn to tune in, like, what's going on around me? And the question really is, God, what are you saying to people around me? And you maybe won't live like this all the time, all right? You're going to have your times where you're just, okay, you have a deadline. If you have to be at work, you have to be at work. It is what it is. But I'm saying that there are opportunities in the day, every single day, to be hungry for the will of God. Jesus, I'm hungry to do the Father's will. That's the food that I'm hungry for, right? So this hunger has got to lead us to tuning into the environment around us. And it is that question just in our minds, in our hearts all the time. God, what are you saying to people around us? What are you doing? My philosophy is simply this. God is always speaking to everybody. I mean, I'm not saying he's Chatty Cathy, okay, or Chatty Charles, or who, you know, let's not make this totally feminine. All right, men got some chatters too, right? I'm just trying to make fun, not just women. I'm not saying he's always how are you doing? Everything. I mean, not saying he's like, but he's got a destiny, he's got a purpose, he's got a call, he has a specific love. He has things that he's saying to people all the time. That's my philosophy. He's omnipresent. How many of you believe the Bible says God's omnipresent, right? He's everywhere all the time. I mean, this is like fascinating. Like, how in the world? He's omnipresent. God's present all the time, everywhere, at the same time. And he also knows the past, present, and future of every person on the planet at every given moment. That's just fascinating to me, right? So my belief is that God is speaking to every person. And what we're doing, what we're talking about doing and being prophetic and learning to prophesy is we're just learning to pick up as we go around life. We're tuning in and we're sort of picking up what God is saying to people. Sometimes people in the world can't hear God. It's not that they're not hearing God or that God's not speaking to them. It's that they don't have an antenna for it. They're not on the frequency. They're not picking up that it's God. See, they might in their conscience be hearing something or convicted of something, but they're not hearing him. And so we're coming around tuning in. God, what are you saying about this person? How do you see this person, right? So we have stories that we just shared about this kind of a thing. Tuning is really, really important. But I mean, if you go to your restaurant, I mean, challenge yourself. You have to literally, if you haven't activated yourself, what you have to do is challenge yourself. You have to get up in the day and you have to challenge yourself. Today, if I go to this restaurant, I'm going to start praying for the waiter. I'm going to, the waitress. I'm going to step out today because I want to help people. Not because I want to feel like I'm spiritual. You understand, like, motives, if you live a life where you question your motives all the time, it won't work out for you, all right? So sometimes we do things for the wrong reason, okay, but God cleans us up. You understand, like, we can't double question ourselves all the time. That just kills people. I mean, it kills me. I can't live like that. Am I doing this for the right reason? I don't know if I should be doing this. If this is, you know, maybe this is about me. Maybe this, just do it. I mean, God used a donkey, right? So he doesn't, it's like, I don't know if the donkey had the right motive either, but God saw fit to, right? It was perfect. But you know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes we overthink this thing. We overthink it like, am I in the perfect, like, you're never going to be like this perfect person. Like, you're never going to be that. Like, just, we got to stop that. Like, I have this perfectionism thing that I used to struggle with a lot more. I still have some of that. It touches me at times. You just got to dump that thing out of your life. It's not helpful. Guilt and perfectionism and all that kind of stuff, it just kind of stops you from impacting the people that God's put in your life. So tuning in is, like, really important. And the second thing, like, I'm convinced that Christians are, like, socially inept. Like, that's my, like, not all Christians, but a lot of us, because we're in a bubble. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're in a bubble of, like, people that we know and people that we see on a regular basis, and we sort of get used to the fellowship. We get used to the familiarity of church and that kind of life, and, like, you know, I mean, I've never totally gotten used to hugs in church, but still, you know, working on it, right? So, you know, men just, I mean, there are men that, like, brother, give me a hug, and I don't know, I've never really gotten into that, you know, and I give side hugs to women, and so, right, so I'm just, I don't know, that's what they taught me to do in ministry, like, you know, side hugs, we professionalized it, but I really do think that we're, like, I think that, like, when we're in the bubble, we don't realize, like, how much it's affected us with the world. Like, when we go outside, we don't, like, engage people, like, start conversations, like, just regular stuff, not even, like, for spiritual reasons, but just, like, hey, how are you doing, and, like, what's going on, like, hey, those are nice glasses, or just, I mean, not like we had this weird, like, salesman agenda, right, like, it comes off weird to the world, like, what are you, a creep, what are you doing? No, I mean, like, people want to talk, you ask, like, Amy was just telling us, like, she overheard a conversation, in the Olive Garden, in the bathroom of all places, and then you ended up getting to minister to somebody. And that's what I'm saying, is, like, we're hearing things, but are we engaging? So you can tune in, but if you don't engage people, right, that's step number two. You got to learn to engage people, and engage people simply. It's going to be awkward at first if you're not this kind of a person, so you just have to learn to do it. Right, if it's your waiter, you just pay attention. You tune into who they are and what they're doing and how they are, and then you start to engage them a little bit. And if you're overly sarcastic, you're gonna have to calm that down probably, because this is what I've noticed: when you get too sarcastic with people of the world, it turns into an insincere conversation. And when you try to turn it into a sincere conversation, it doesn't work very well. So I'm just suggesting, I'm not saying all sarcasm is bad. Some of it's fun and it's good natured, but you have to be careful that you're not overly sarcastic, or you will not have any ability to speak to people in a sincere manner. So you have to be careful with that. But yeah, have fun with people and learn to engage them. I think it's important, and I think you can engage people. When we're talking about prophesying, learning to prophesy, you have to engage people with what you have, right? I think there's a couple ways to do it. I like to just, the third part is just to share what you have. Like if I'm always praying, I'm listening, I'm waiting on God. I ask the Lord, do you have something for this person, right? So I'm aware of what's going on. I'm aware of the person, and Lord, do you have something for them or whatever? And sometimes I don't get anything, and I don't engage everybody, but I engage people even if I don't have something prophetic. But you have to learn to share what you do have, like the simplicity of it. There's an indirect way to do that. The indirect way is very simple, and it's very non-threatening. Hey, do you have a brother? You feel like there's something in your heart to pray for their sibling. One time I was at a fair, and did anybody in this meeting go with me to that fair out in Timbuktu land? Were you there with me? Okay, do you remember that? I was like way out there. I was like next to a river. Yeah, so anyways, we went to this outdoor fair that I was supposed to preach at, okay? So, I'd never been there before, and they told me what it was and everything. They were nice people and all that. So we drive out there, and it's way out there. So we're having fun in the car, right? Road trip, okay? So we get there, and then I preach, and it was a 20-minute preach. It was the best time I've ever done in my entire life. So proud of myself. It's just one of those. And so then we get done, and then we go to the car because we know it's like a long ride home. So we're going down to the car, and there are these two young men. They're about 20, 21-ish years old, and they were like Parks and Recreation. They were making sure that people were parking in the right place and knowing where to, because it was in a park or a fairgrounds, but it was in like a park next to a river area, so they had Parks and Recreation helping park people. So I walk next to these two guys, and I'm hungry. I'm hungry to share what God gives me with people, you know. And I go in and out of it at times, but I'm just hungry, and I'm like, man, I just want you to rock these two guys, right? So they're kind of like the, yo, man, you know what I'm saying, just keeping a, you know, they kind of got that thing going on, right? So I kind of relate to the whole deal, but I mean, I got delivered from it, but anyways, so, I did, right? I kind of thought I was cool when I was younger. And so I see that thing on them, right? And I go, man, God, I want you to rock these guys' world, right? So it's this dirt path, and I walk right past them. I go, hey, guys, what's up? What's up, man? What's up, man? So I'm walking down, and then all of a sudden, I'm like, God, I don't want to make this stuff up, right? So I'm like, really, I'll never make it up. I'll never do that. I'm like, God, come on. Just give me stuff. I want to help these. And I get this thing on my heart all of a sudden, like this, the right guy, there was a black guy and a white guy. And it was like the white guy, when I looked at him, his picture stayed in my mind as I'm walking down the dirt road. And this thing comes on my heart, go back and talk to him about his sister who has a drug addiction. And she's like almost died. I don't remember exactly how it went, but she's like almost, she's like serious pain, and it was like that kind of deathy feeling that you get, right? Like something real tragic has just happened with this guy's sister, and it was like a drug addiction deal. It's like, okay, so I just turn around, right? That, you remember, you know that point when you felt like you needed to talk to somebody and you didn't, and you have a choice because you can still turn around. Okay, so this time I actually turned around. Sometimes you don't, you keep rolling, and we need to learn to turn around. Because those can be some of the most powerful, pivotal moments in somebody else's life when we will take that risk right there. That's that moment of decision that we have. So I turn around and I walk up to the guys and go, hey, man, this might sound crazy because I know I don't know you guys, but when I was walking right past you, I think you know what this fair is about. It's kind of a Christian deal, but I really believe that God put this on my heart that you have a sister and she's in a serious trouble because she has some kind of drug addiction and something just happened. And the dude, no joke, he just like, his eyes water up and his head just goes low. Like just, he just, his countenance just drops, right? From that yo kind of thing to just all of a sudden, he is, looks desperate. He looks like, man. And the other guy's like, what the F? You know? Like, yo, man, like, you know, the whole deal. And I go, dude, is that true? And he goes, yeah, man, like, she's addicted to heroin. She just had a drug overdose. She's been in the hospital. We thought she was going to die. She's still alive. And I go, man, I'm going to pray for your sister right now. What's her name? And he tells me. And so I just go, can I pray for her right now? And they both take off their hats. And they go, yeah, man, let's pray. I mean, they just take off their hats like we're in the military or something. It's just powerful. And I mean, I feel the Holy Spirit just moving on me. Like, I mean, it's a holy moment, right? Like this was a God-designed deal. And I just start praying like fire, just God, you know, and with passion and like, I mean, tears. He came upon me. I don't know how else to say it. He just came upon me for this moment. And so, anyways, after that, I prayed and I said, man, I was just going to believe with you that God's going to move powerfully in your sister's life. And he goes, man, thank you, man. That's just really crazy. This is really crazy. I don't know what to say. And I said, and so then I shared my testimony about Jesus and how he came to me and revealed himself to me. And I get, you know, the whole deal. And I share a little bit about the cross and the forgiveness of sin and all that kind of thing. And I always like to, whenever I share my testimony with people, I always like to tell people how they can come to know Jesus. I don't have to make you pray with me, but I definitely leave you with the knowledge of how you come to know him. This easy, like all you got to do. Just like me, guys, all you have to do is just give your life to Jesus. This is how you pray. Just like we pray, God, I love you. I don't know you yet, but I want you to reveal yourself to me. Please reveal who you are to me. I believe, just if there's a sense that this is true, just tell them, I believe that you did this, and I want you to show yourself to me. I want to follow you. I just give them that simple knowledge, and they just said thank you, and then we got in the car, and we drove away, and as we drove away, they were just like, man, they were impacted, right? Impacted. I was impacted, deeply impacted by this whole experience, you know. I mean, here's what I'm saying, like, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. When you have something like that happen, it feeds your soul on a level which you cannot explain. You'll literally live spiritually on that for like a week, right? It's kind of like a bear. They can eat a meal and live on that thing for a long time. I mean, spiritually speaking, this is what causes life to reproduce and to continue the momentum of God's power and his love through us when we are willing to engage. We tune in, we engage, we share what we have. There's sort of indirect way and a direct way. Indirect is asking questions. Hey, do you have a sister? I was direct. I was saying, hey, I just felt like this came on my heart, and I believe, you know, this is what it was. You have a sister, da 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 da. It was kind of like a more direct way. An indirect way, an easier, non-threatening way is just because you could be wrong. Hey, do you have a sister? See how that can work? And they go, no, why? And they go, oh, just, I don't know, just had this weird sense. And then sometimes people will engage you right there. You can mess up and they'll go, why? That's crazy. And like, oh, I just pray and I'm just praying and I had this kind of sense. Maybe it was your sister or I was praying for some gal that was attached to you somehow. And they might just, like, you might just miss it and they go, yeah, but, you know, my daughter is just really not going through an easy time, right? And then here's the problem. And you see what I'm saying? I mean, you can make a mistake and that's still an open door, right? So God will take your mistake and make it powerful. Okay, it happens. I mean, I've done that with waiters. I think I have the worst stuff go on with waiters. I don't have all these real powerful testimonies. For some reason, I get into restaurants and I just lose my composure, right? I just get disorganized because the food comes by. And says, that is God's gift to Ben right there. I just sort of don't know what's going on once I see the plate, once I get the something to drink in them. And then I miss like whatever it's like I share half of what I'm supposed to share. And no, that's not absolutely. One time I'm at Olive Garden. I'm like, hey man, I just feel like you might have something going on with your ankle. Da 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 da. No man, my ankles are strong. I'm a runner. Da da da. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of what I was trying to get at. Like maybe you have something going on with your ankles. Like they're really strong and you can run great distances. And God says you have endurance to run. You know, no, I didn't do that, actually, but I did make that mistake a few times where I thought, felt this, and I was totally wrong, but it opened up conversations, so, like, the guy's, like, chilling at my table, like, so why would you say something like that? I'm just wondering, like, and then I end up talking to him about Jesus anyways, and it doesn't even matter. At the end of the day, he doesn't even remember that I talked to him about his ankles. He remembers the testimony that I shared with him, right? So I mean, God just takes your mistakes and makes a whole big, cool thing out of it, but we have to learn to share what we have, and I just think this, if you can engage people, right? You tune in to your environment. If you can engage people and just learn to do that more often, just start what might seem insignificant conversations with people just at the coffee stand or wherever. Ask people questions. Just start engaging people. Learn to activate that social level that maybe you're not used to. Maybe you're just used to beelining it from one place to the next. Okay? Just activate that thing. If you spend a lot of time at a coffee shop or you spend a lot of time here or there, notice the people that are regularly there and engage them. I'm not saying we have to engage 20-minute conversations. I'm just normal stuff, just little stuff. Like I said, I feel like Christians become socially like inept because we're just used to the amount of people that we know and the amount of people that we see, and we don't really grow beyond that. We got to break the bubble and get used to like being in the world's business, like, but in a respectful way, in a relational way, not in a religious way, because that way they'll learn to trust us, they'll learn to talk to us, they'll learn to share with us. And that's sort of what I try to do with neighbors, and that's what I try to do with people in my world, is just talk to them. I mean, you just go over and talk to them about the grass, right? I mean, my neighbors are proud of their grass. So we have conversations about grass and landscaping, and then come to find out, like, you know, they're just things that you learn about people. I learned about some of my neighbors, like their jobs and positions and things that they do, and we've had a few of our neighbors over, and I've been able to share my story, the real story about how the real Jesus met me in a real way, and I was transformed by it. You can't deny that. You can't take that away from me. See, that's prophetically, you know, you have to be able to tune in and as you're listening to God, share it with people. So I just want to encourage you to do that. It's really just social skills is kind of what I'm encouraging you to do. But take what God gives you on a spiritual level and then sort of on a relational and normal level, combine those two and watch what he'll do as you're sitting there with your passion and your hunger to impact people. You couple all that together, and it's the ingredients for pretty much powerful stuff happening. So that's what we're after. I wanted to just talk to you a little bit about prophetic principles. And I've just learned some things as you prophesy over people. There's things you learn to do and things you learn not to do, like ever again, like in your entire life. So I want to share a few of those with you that I have learned. I don't know how many stories are going to come out, but I hope good ones, because I really don't plan any of my stories, and we just sort of see how it goes. Amen. Yes, that's right. So the first one is when you're praying for somebody, like this is church environment, okay? I'll intermix the church and the world. Right now I'm just talking, this is the first one applies to the church, but pray the word over people. Like when you have a sense of something, because a lot of times when you're prophesying to people, you don't have like this elaborate deal, okay? Even if you have like a picture or something, you're praying for somebody or you're sensing there's an issue with somebody that's going on or whatever, I like to get into a place where I could pray with them. One of the things that before I was on staff at church, I used to sit back in this section over here, and one of the things that I would do with Bridget at times is we would challenge each other to sit next to somebody that we didn't know, and we would pray for them during the service. And during the break time where you shake somebody's hand, it's like 30 seconds long, and it's long enough to have an awkward handshake, whatever. Anyways, that kind of time, right? And I would use that time to sort of draw close and say, hey, this is crazy, right? But I was just having a prayer over here, asking God what he might say to you. And here's what I feel like he shared. And I mean, seriously, it was 10 out of 10 every time. 10 out of 10, it was impacting that person. I shared with the lady one time back here, she was sitting back there, and I thought she was by herself, but she was with the whole row, was her family. And I started prophesying. I felt like God was saying, like, you're the glue in your family. And like, he wants to really encourage you that the strength that you have on you, you're actually going to pass to two of your kids. Both of her kids were sitting right there, and I didn't even know it. I mean, they're right there, right? And she's like dragging them to church, like barely gets them to church. And she just starts crying, and I go, can I pray for you? And I just pray for her, and it was just really powerful. But I like to pray the word over people sometimes before I share it. So occasionally I'll just ask people, can I just pray? Would you mind if I prayed for you? I just sensed that God was doing something, and I might have a little sense of something. And as I pray for them, the word begins to emerge, that prophetic word. And I'll stop when I'm praying for them, and I'll say, you know, here's the sense that I have that God is doing something. Because you're opening up a time where you're looking to the Lord and you're praying over something with that person in agreement. And that's where you kind of conclude that prayer with the prophetic word. I like to pray the word over people first, because when you do that, or if it's appropriate, if it's allowed at that time, when you do that, it's just powerful because we're asking God to do this. And there's sort of like a witness. When you're praying for somebody, there's a witness that this is the word of the Lord, and then you share it with them. I think that can be really, really powerful when you go to communicate. that with them, because it's not only been prayed, but now it's being spoken. There's this sort of a double thing that happens there. The second thing that I think is really important is to be clear. I like this verse in 1 Corinthians 14. He's kind of talking to a crazy group of charismatic believers, which is what I am. So he's kind of talking to them, and they lack a lot of knowledge and understanding. They're pretty ignorant to the ways of God and really the love of God as they minister to people. And he says this to them about prophecy. He says, "For if the bugle produces an indistinct sound, who will prepare himself for battle?" Kind of what he's really, I mean, he's using an illustration. He's saying, listen, if the bugle doesn't have a certain sound, people aren't going to know that we need to take up some guns and go fight, okay? Because what you're doing doesn't sound like a war bugle. It kind of sounds like somebody's dying, all right, if you know what I'm saying. And so what he really means is he's like, if you're gonna speak to people, if you're going to share something with somebody, it's best to be clear. And I don't mean to like put down a lot of things that are shared in some circles, but sometimes it's just over dramatized and over spiritualized, and it makes absolutely no sense. I'll never forget some of the first meetings that I did. Gal, awesome gal, she was very prophetic, but she had a very symbolic prophetic gift, and it was always like elaborate visions, and she did not make a lot of sense, right? But she had some accuracy to her thing, and that's why I'll actually hang in there with people and like, okay, is this really from the Lord, right? Because like sometimes the language is off, but the real gift is there. You just have to learn what the difference is, and if you just have a first impression, you could be totally wrong. But she had a real gift, and I remember she's prophesying to this guy like, I see this basket of fruit and all this stuff. I might have said this before. I see this basket of fruit, this big basket of fruit. He's like this big dude, looks like a big biker dude. He's like, are you calling me a fruit? You know, it's like he has no clue what she's talking about. She's describing like this beautiful fruit. You know, women, you got to be careful. Like some dudes just aren't checked into like the big wicker baskets, and they don't like get all that, right? So like same with men. Like there's things that you could use, your language that you could use. It makes no sense. You have to be clear to the person that you're speaking to. All right, so produce a distinct sound so that they can hear it and know what to do. That's the idea. And I mean, I'm looking to share words that have teeth on them, right? So they sink in. And I want this is what I've resolved in myself. I want to be a person that when I share a prophetic word with somebody, they listen. I don't want to be the kind of voice that when I say, "Man, I feel like the Lord shared something with me," people just check out. I want to be the kind of personality that when people, especially in the church, in the world of church and that kind of a thing, when those that we know, family and whatnot, people that are in our sphere of influence, I want them to be able to stand up straight and, man, this is Ben doesn't do this unless he really believes that this is something that's coming from the Lord. I want it to be that clear of a sound. It produces a clear sound. Okay, that's what we're going. That's our goal. That's what we're going for, to be clear. And you just have to be careful, like who you're talking to. I mean, if you're talking to people in the world, you got to use language that they get. Okay, you can't use the blood of Jesus, and you can't do all this stuff. You can't talk about destiny, and you know the purpose. You got to be careful. You have to know who you're talking to. All right, you have to know who you're talking to. If they're Christians, I think you can get away with a lot of stuff. If they're not Christians, you can't get away with it. All right, you just have to. And that's the challenge. When you're out in the world, you have to learn to share things with people that don't know Jesus, that don't have your lingo. They're not in the bubble, so they don't hear the normal stuff. Or they don't know Jeremiah. There's things they don't get. So know who you're speaking to. You can get away with a lot of stuff in the church that you can't in the world. Just remember that. But we're looking for words that have teeth on them. It's a clear sound. The third thing is share scripture, right? Whenever you can attach a Bible verse to the word, it will help people remember the word, because the word is eternal. It endures forever. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It hasn't changed. That word will be a life verse for somebody that they will remember. Ask God to attach a word from the scripture to the word that he's given you in your heart for somebody. If you have that clarity, okay, ask him. Just, God, is there some, if you're praying for people in a church, have a Bible with you. Always have a Bible with you so that you can open it up, you know. And when you share the word, you can also kind of just step aside and say, and by the way, there's this thing about peace that I was talking to you about, that prophetic word that God was giving you. Here's what Jesus said about peace. This passage is really powerful. And that passage, I mean, can be distinct, and it could stand out for 20, 30, 40 years. The pastor at our church here, Pastor Chris, one of the first prophetic, most powerful prophetic words he got was a passage of scripture, but it was also a prophetic word. It was both. And that passage of scripture, he will never forget. right? He's recalled it to me so many times in our conversations. It's that passage. That passage and that word has combined together to make, it's a catalyst word for his life, right? And so I have similar things that have happened to me, and I like to share scriptures with people. It's really important that we do that. Because people, you know, what do you read every day if you're a Christian, or you try to anyways, right? You read the Word of God, right? So people come across that thing, and the fresh memory of that word that was spoken to them comes across when they read that section or that passage of Scripture, and it reminds them and encourages them of what the Lord said that one time, okay? So it's really important to attach Bible passages whenever we can. I remember at one of our conferences, I was praying for a gal, laid hands on her, right in her back shoulder area right there, just laid hands on her, just, it's like John 14 or 15, not 15, but John like 14, and Jesus like, peace I give to you, right? not peace that the world gives, but peace I give to you. You know that passage, right? And I'm prophesying this over her, and she's crying, and I'm like, yeah, this is a powerful moment, right? You said, I have these blooper reels that, like, play in my head of, like, what something really looked like what I thought was happening versus what was really happening. It's so good. Because, like, you're in this powerful moment, and you think this thing's really happening. Like, oh, my gosh, this is a really powerful moment. And they're, like, experiencing something totally different because you're just not on the know. You're not in the know. You don't know. So I didn't know that, like, weeks before, she got this tattooed on her back. She had that passage tattooed on her back. It's like, and I'm prophesying this thing over her, and she's like, I just got that tattooed on my back. And I thought it was like this profound thing because she was in the middle of this difficult situation and she needed this word, and she was just like going crazy because I called out her tattoo. And I mean, that's really powerful too. There's nothing wrong with that. That's really an awesome experience. But that's the last thing I think I would have ever thought, right? So, but you see, and so I didn't tell her that I thought anything but that. I mean, I didn't tell her that's what I didn't say, yeah, I knew that. I didn't say that either. I'm just saying I didn't really act like, you know, I knew. I just didn't act like I didn't. So anyways, whatev. And so sharing scripture is important. You never know, it might be tattooed on somebody's body. And so the fourth one is low repetition. All right, sometimes, like, I used to do this a lot when I started prophesying, and particularly when I started publicly prophesying over people, I noticed that I would repeat myself a lot. I actually had some good friends that gave me feedback and said, people understand what you're saying the first time. Oh, so I'm repeating myself is a kind of indirect way, passive-aggressive way of saying that you shouldn't repeat yourself. And so what happens is sometimes we think people don't understand, whether we're reading their face or whatever we're trying to do, but two times is the absolute most you should share a prophetic word with somebody. Okay, two times. You start sharing it three or four or five, the power of that word is just, it's become a conversation at that point, in my opinion. And I've watched people struggle to share these prophetic words, and people start getting confused when you start being repetitive. It's almost like they want to say, are you sure? You know, because, like, you don't sound very sure about that. You're repeating it either. You think I'm dumb, or you're not really sure that what you're saying is from the Lord, but one or the other is happening right here. I'm not real comfortable. So you just have to remember that when you share words, I like to share it once. I mean, I share it once and I'm done. But occasionally, if you have to be redundant because something might have been missed, okay, that's twice is the absolute max. And I'm talking about as we're mature. As we mature, we just want to make sure that we don't lose the power and the teeth of that word while we're sharing it with somebody. It's important that we get this, okay. A number, whatever this is, separate the word from counsel and suggestions. I've talked to you about this a little bit before, but sometimes people are we're teachy, okay, and we'll give a prophetic word, and then we'll say, well, that was like this one time back in Kansas, or whatever. That was one time when the Lord spoke to me about this, and by the time you're done talking, they don't even remember what you originally shared with them. You understand the difference? Like, I just like to share the word. And if we can write stuff down, that's another principle. Like, write it down. Ask people to write it down. Have somebody write it down. If that kind of thing. If you're in a church, if you're in the world, I don't know. I never asked anybody to write something down in the world because it usually emotionally impacts them, and then the deal's done at that point. But if you can, I mean, the thing that we're trying to do is separate the counsel, separate the teaching. We're not trying to be teachy. We're just trying to share the word that's from the Lord. Remember, if this is a word from the Lord, you don't want a mixture with other things. So sometimes I just say, okay, does that make sense? Yeah, it does. Okay, I'm just asking you, I'm not God. I'm not trying to say that everything's perfectly all the Lord in that word. So pray about that, okay? And they go, okay, pray about that. All right, so I just want to share this one thing with you also outside of that word. I like to separate what I'm saying. Okay, that was a prophetic word. I like to make sure people understand the difference between what I'm sharing now. You know, Paul actually does that in the Bible. Have you read the 1 Corinthians where Paul's like, this is not the Lord speaking, but this is what I'm saying to you. He actually does that two times in the scripture, which proves he knows he was writing scripture, by the way. He knew. People say he didn't know. He knew because he said, this is not the Lord, this is me speaking here. So Paul did know that there was a sense of the Holy Spirit on him, that he was writing something way far beyond his thoughts. So separate counsel from suggestions or separate the word from counsel and suggestions. I would also say share humbly. When I say share humbly, I don't mean insecure, because the last thing you want to do is be like this. Susie, I'm just kind of nervous right now. Because this really, you know, it's really tough to do, and you're sitting there thinking, get on with it, son, but I'm just like, Susie, I pray sometimes, like, so I did that, not every day, but, you know, so I just, you know, I mean, I know you probably already know this, right? Because I know you know your Bible, and I know you love God. I know that. I mean, I see that in your life. And so I don't, it's not that I'm trying to, right? I got to obey the Lord. You know what I mean? I think you understand that. It'd be good if you, like, I think the Lord's trying to say you should be strong, right? So I think I think you might be saying something like that. But I mean, who am I? Like, you probably already knew that. Sorry. It's a lot different. Okay. That's not humble. That's insecure. You see that? Right, the difference. And you know what? You're going to get, I'm not saying you should do it like this, but you could say, you know, Susie, I just really sense that you're in a time where the Lord is saying he's going to strengthen you so that you can stand no matter what comes against you. You've been through trials, you've been through trouble, you've been through some hardships, and there are more that will happen, right? You're going to have to cover your family in these hardships but God is strengthening you so that the covering that you provide over your family will stand and be secure, not just for you, but for your whole household. And that's the anointing that's been on you and will remain and abide on you as you're faithful to the Lord. That's the strength that God is adding to your life. Is there a difference between the two? That's free, by the way, because I just feel the Lord on all that. So is there a difference between the two? A little bit, right? Or you could just say something like, it's like evangelism. It's the worst thing for you to share the gospel. Thanks for talking to me. And so, like, I mean, you know, like, there's the church, there's the steeple, you know, the inside, there's the people. Like, you know, do you know what I mean? Like, so I just, you know, God just wants, Jesus, just, he loves you. He wants you to know that, like, if you, you know, you just come to church and you could be like me. And they're like, I don't want to be like you, right? You're crazy. And so there's a difference between humble. Humble is just like this. It's like, if you come here real quick. Don't be funny. Just come here, because you're a funny guy. You're a funny guy. Okay, come here. Come over here. It's like if you're praying for, this is, what's your name again? Mitch, this is Mitch. So Mitch's a good guy. So if you're praying for Mitch, I like to look people in the eyes, like, and respect people. Like, when I'm talking about being humble, I'm talking about being honorable, being where people are. And I like to, when I'm in church, I can say, hey, I'm Ben. And you're like, hey, I'm Mitch. That's great. Like, we just met each other. And then I'll just say, okay, I'll just go ahead and can I pray, you know, pray the word over people first. Would you mind if I prayed with you? And I always like to say pray with you instead of for you. It's just, to me, it's a pet peeve, like, to say, I'm going to pray for, you know, the whole, like, I'm the man of God kind of thing. I'm just not with that. I like to, we're on the same level. We get that. Like, we're the same, we're God's beloved, we're God's anointed. We might have different gifts, but that's what I believe, okay? That's what I believe. And so I like to respect people and share humbly. I really just sense this is what's happening in your life right now. I want to encourage you to do this. Does it make sense to you? And you're just like a person, right? You're just a person. And then you have conversation. You share. You can sit down. I wasn't going to prophesy to you for free right there because you're coming tomorrow anyway. So, I like to look people in the eyes and I like to shake their hand and I like to get their name and I like them to know my name and I like to talk to them that way. There's a different atmosphere that you create when you do that. But speaking insecurely to people is not what we want. That's not humble. That's false humility. That's weirdness. And it doesn't help people at all, okay? Now, you might start. A lot of you guys, I've watched you prophesy, and you'll start like, I don't know if this makes any sense. And don't get offended by this because people tend to. Just don't start it with that. Because when you do that, when you tell somebody, I don't know if this will make any sense, and then that's the start of your conversation. That's just, I mean, if you thought through like what that sounded like, it sounds like you don't know what you're talking about, okay? And I'm not telling you to come off like super confident. I have prayed over enough people to know how to, you see what, you do this. You minister to people, but you do it with them. You don't do it in a condescending way. And that's what I'm talking about. And you have to learn how to do that. It takes a lot of practice where you do this time and time and time and time again to people. And the more you do it, the more love you, I believe the more your heart gets filled with love, right? You get impacted by this stuff. This is an exchange of spiritual life that impacts you as much as it impacts others, right? So I just really feel it's important to be humble. And what I mean is that we're just people. We get hurt. We get wounded. We need to hear the Lord's voice. We go through stuff. Don't forget that you're a person when you are prophesying to people, just like they are, right? We say we all have this skin, and we all go through stuff. So, a lot of times we kind of do this kind of thing. You know, one time there was a time in my history that I went through something of that nature. Okay, and let me just be—I'll be totally candid with you. You can learn a style, and I'll just be honest. Like I learned early on, I learned a style where I would come off more like that, and I had to unlearn that style. So let me just tell you from experience, less people would listen to me because I would speak I want to speak with confidence, and there are times where I declare things because I believe God's asked me to do that. I believe God's prompted me to do that. I'm going to do that. But I'm not going to speak personally to people in a condescending way, and I have unlearned that style because I knew that it wasn't helpful, and I saw the effect that it was having. I've changed my ways. So learn from me in that transformation that I had to have. Just, you don't even have to go there, but just don't do this doesn't make any sense, but I'm going to say it anyways. Just say, you know, I really felt this come on my heart when I was praying for you. Here's what it is. That's it. Or, hey, this is a sense that I had, .. So does that make sense to you? Yeah, sure. And then I encourage people to pray about it. You're free to pray about that. That was the sense that I had. That's it. In church, that's all we're responsible to do. We're responsible to share what we have and then commit that to them and to the Lord. That's it. We're not God. We're not trying to take God's place. We're just trying to be people that are sharing encouraging, prophetic insight that God is giving us. And you can drum it up. You can do all that stuff. I've done it. Trust me. I mean, and when you do public ministry, I will actually not share about how you do public ministry because it's a lot different when there's no interaction. When there's no interaction with people and there's hundreds, I've been thrown up in front of 500 people before in churches that I've not really ever attended. And okay, now, you know, like 13 minutes before the service, I find out that I'm preaching and I'm supposed to minister to people. That's awkward to me. That's hard, okay? You'll never have to probably do that, okay? But I have had to do some of that stuff, and that's where you get kind of, you have to learn other principles for that kind of stuff. There's different public prophecy, corporate prophecy, ministering to people like this is different than personal prophecy. One-on-one, one-on-three, one-on-four. I'm talking more about personal. Does that make sense? Yes. Even if it doesn't, I'm going to keep going. Take appropriate risks. There's times where you take risks. We had a guy on, we used to have a bunch of teams. And on our teams, there was a guy who felt like he was supposed to slap somebody in the mouth because they had a toothache, and if he did that they would get healed. And so he didn't tell me before he did that, so he did it, and of course I was having coffee with the guy that week trying to explain that that didn't represent our ministry, okay? And so I told the guy that did that, I said, if you ever have something that's high level like that, that's, would you agree that's a high level thing? That's level 10. If you ever feel the urge to smack somebody's mouth because they have a toothache, because you believe if you hit them that God will heal them, I want you to run that by me first. Yeah. Because if you would have run it by me first, it wouldn't have happened. Because at the end of the day, the person's tooth's not healed. Okay? His tooth didn't get healed. Because the guy let him do it. And I told the guy, I said, you never let somebody do something like that. He's like, well, I don't know if it was going to happen. I said, well, I would have never let somebody hit my mouth to see if my tooth would get healed. All right? I mean, it might sound funny because we let somebody put a shot in our mouth and then drill a hole in our tooth and then fill it with some kind of substance that we trust is not going to harm our body. I know we're a little trusting to those people called dentists, but at least that's sort of a normal thing in our culture that we can pretty reasonably trust, okay? So I'll go with that one before I'll go with Mr. Smack Somebody for $500, okay? You understand what I'm saying? So I don't know if he was reading like some of the old revival stuff or whatever, but like at the end of the day, nobody got healed. So you should probably not read those books. But no, I'm just joking. The guy that did it is a friend. He's a good guy. He just missed it. He missed it. But it was a big miss, and he was representing our ministry. And I corrected him and said, you can never do something like that again unless you process it with me first. Don't just process it with them, and it's a green light. So, because I clean up all the messes, and I this is a mess I didn't want to clean up. So, but take appropriate risks, okay? There are risks that are not appropriate, and then there are risks that you have to take. Sometimes you got to take that risk, or you're not going to see that word come and be as powerful and penetrative as it could be. Especially in the world, you have to take those risks, right? The life of the Holy Spirit, the life of being led by the Spirit, a life of following Jesus is a life of risk. You don't know where this thing is going. My life has not turned out the way that I thought it should go. Now, that's the life of following Jesus, let alone a life of being used by Jesus. A life of being used by Jesus is all about risk. Faith is spelled R-I-S-K. It's all about risk, right? You can't plan everything out. I mean, you can have a plan, but that plan's going to change. And if we're not open for that, I mean, he'll ask us to do stuff at the most inconvenient times. He'll prompt us about something at the time we're not ready. I mean, you have to be able to take appropriate risks. Risk-taking is part of the prophetic. Without it, you won't see a growth in your ability to prophesy. You just won't. If it's all got to be safe and prepackaged, I'm just telling you, your opportunities will be very slim, and it won't have the same kind of power attached to it. I know that's rough, right? That's just rough. Come on, God, just speak to me normal. No symbolic fruit baskets. No none of that. No dreams. Just talk to me like a man talks to his friend. I like Moses' scripture, Exodus 33:11. God talked to Moses like a man talks to his friend. That's what I would like. Right? Just give me download me a CD and I'll pick it up in the morning and no muss, no fuss. Let's just get this thing done, right? So it just doesn't work that way. But okay, last two. Be careful with serious words like correction and direction. The worst thing that can ever happen is somebody get a prophetic word for a church and ask the pastor to share it and then come up on the stage and share, like, I feel like this is where this church is supposed to go. If somebody ever does something like that, I mean, you're going to see me on the front row just shaking my head. Like, that person has no idea what they're doing. I mean, just imagine, right? You have leadership. Our leadership, we fast, we pray, we strategize, we plan, we implement direction. And then somebody just gets a whiff of the Spirit and they want to get up on the stage and say that we're supposed to go this way, and they haven't fasted, they haven't prayed, they haven't strategized, they haven't implemented. They've sat on the sidelines and they got a sense that this might be from the Lord, and then they get up and share. You understand what I'm saying? It's like somebody coming in and sitting at your table in your home, and you got your kids there and everything. And I prayed for you guys yesterday, and God told me as a family, here's where you're supposed to go. And as a dad, I've just been like, stop right there. You're not going to share this with my kids. You need to come and share this with me first, and then dad will bring the direction to the family with his wife. Okay? This is not, you're a guest. You don't come, there's a protocol to how you share things with direction. Direction, I mean, think about what we're sharing. We're sharing a direction as a course of life. You shouldn't easily share that with somebody. Okay. Not in a way where you're very confident. Now, the Lord will give me predictive words more than diagnostic. I told you, diagnostic is like word of knowledge, and here's kind of what's true about the present. The Lord gives me more predictive stuff. That's just how I function. When Nick was here, he had a lot more diagnostic. You know, he picked up on, I was watching him, and I know a lot of you guys and a lot of the people that have been here. And I watched him pick up, he could diagnose. He had a sharper word of knowledge. And for some reason, I don't really tend to like this very much, but I've had this predictive ministry and things that are true for like a year from now or that kind of stuff. And it's just been something that I've been given. And at times it flows and sometimes it's just shut off, right? I don't get to choose. I ask God all the time, but it doesn't mean it's always flowing. So the thing about that is that with correction and direction, I'm just saying this, like I can't find in the New Testament I can't find it at all where anybody prophetically corrected somebody because they got a word from the Lord. Correction, I have a teaching on this, comes usually from relationship or scripture, relationship, and responsibility. Responsibility is leadership. Relationship is family, friends. You know, there's a sense of you have a right to speak into that person's life through that relationship. Leadership has a responsibility to correct because they have to. But prophetically, sometimes people have this like prophetic thing where they're like, the Lord spoke to me. And, you know, I've had some of that. I believe that God gives prophetic words that are corrections for people. I believe he does that. He does send like a Nathan. I call it the Nathan word. He'll do that. And I've actually knocked on people's door before with some pretty serious things that I could not let go of. But I'm just telling you, when you have stuff like that for people, you had better fast and pray. If you find it too easy to correct people from a prophetic thing that you have, I'm just telling you, it's probably somewhere lodged in your personality, and it's not that great of a thing. You follow what I'm saying? And I'm speaking as a critical natured person. I'm not speaking as a, you are that way, and I am definitely not. Okay. It should not be an easy thing for us to correct the course of somebody's direction or correct their personality or their character. It should be a serious thing to us. So God does sometimes give these things, but edification, exhortation, and comfort is the primary flow. He does give those things, but I think that's a mature level. That's a mature level to do that kind of stuff. If you find that you're getting prophecies that are typically about what's wrong more often, I would ask the Lord to tweak that a little bit. Okay, because you might find that your discerning capacity has more to do with what's wrong than what's right. Discernment isn't just about what's wrong. Discernment is also about what God is doing, right? So like discernment is like where, oh, here's all the demonic stuff that's going on. I've had people say all kinds of stuff. I saw demons dancing on the building and stuff like that. And I'm like, they're around. They just want you like to freak. We should do something about that. Like, well, you know. What are we going to do? He's like, you must have missed the 100 angels that were standing on top of them. I'm not sure if you saw that, but that's, you know what I'm saying? So I'm sorry that you can only see the dark side, all right? Darth Vader, but I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you, okay? Luke Skywalker, I'm just saying. Chewbacca, whoever you are. I'm just there's more to see than the dark side, or the Siths, okay? You need to be a Jedi, whatever. You understand what I'm trying to say? Like people, like if you raise it, hey, raise your hand, how many people have had demonic encounters? Like, I'm serious, like 90% of the room like have kind of felt or sensed or whatever. How many of you have had encounters with angels? It's like slim compared to that. I'm just saying, like, sometimes we just get used to the dark that we don't even see the light. I love that passage in like 2 Kings chapter 6 where Elijah's servant is like going, remember I shared it with you in the visions service that we did, and Elijah's servant's like crazy, like, look at all the armies of Aram, they're going to kill us, and Elijah's like, God opened his eyes that he'd see, and it's like, poof, he sees, and there's like chariots of fire all around, and like the hosts of heaven, and he's like, oh, we're fine, never mind, God, we're good. Like, you can discern the enemy, but can you see what God is doing? Can you see the protection and the strength of God? Can you see can you see God, or do you just see what's wrong? Now, when you look at somebody's life, like I've stood people up and prophesied, like God's given you an ability of discernment. He's going to use you in this capacity, da, 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 da. And everybody around them is like, that person's gullible. Like they couldn't spell their name on a test if they needed to. They don't have any discernment. Like they didn't even know like what store's what. What are you talking about? Like you have missed it or whatever. Sometimes God will help me to see the thing that he's called them into. And if you could write the things that you aren't on one line, and then you put a line down the center of that, this person's like, whatever you could have sinful things, but you could also have just like, you know, somebody's gullible, or somebody's this, or somebody's easy to trip up, or somebody that falls into error or deception. That's not God's will for their life. The prophecy can obviously be the opposite of that. And sometimes God doesn't allow me to see what's wrong with a person because he wants me to see what he's calling them into. And the prophecy isn't what's true about them today. The prophecy is, this is what God says about you and what he wants you to become. And people will sit there and say, you missed it. I'm like, I didn't miss it. You missed it. You see the natural. You see what's true about them today. That's who they were. That's not what they're called to be. And I'm prophesying discernment. I'm prophesying this person's going to be sharp as a razor. This person's going to rise up and be able to see what God's doing. They're going to be able to help people like this. That's prophecy. And I just thank God that he shuts my brain off and my eyes off from a lot of things, so that I can't see some stuff. It's great. And other people can say, you missed. That's fine. I might have missed it. That's cool. But I'm telling you, I'd rather prophesy what I believe is going to be true than always only seeing what has been true. That's not identity. That's not truth. That's reality as it was. And there's nothing wrong with dealing with that. But I mean, the prophetic nature of God is to see into the future, not just to see what was. And sometimes when we have this critical thing on us, or we just see what's wrong and we don't see what's right. So you need to be sensitive and careful with serious words, correction, and like reading people and all that kind of stuff. Or here's another thing. Don't prophesy out of what you heard somebody say about somebody else. Don't ever, 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 ever make something spiritual that you know you heard so-and-so say about somebody. Oh, you understand what I'm talking about? If we're going to be an authentic spiritual community, that stuff happens, by the way. That stuff happens. If we're going to be an authentic, supernatural, spiritual community, we need to be people with the utmost integrity and seriousness of what God really does do. Make sense? That stuff happens. You know, you don't make it up. You don't say stuff when you don't have it. You don't say something about what you heard so-and-so say the other day. The worst thing you can do is discern somebody's life through what somebody else told you. If they're wrong, now your filter is causing you to see something that is completely inaccurate. Wipe the slate clean. Don't let other people interpret what somebody is like for you. It's totally wrong. It's not right. It shouldn't have been done. It's not okay. Right? So it's just one of those things we need to clear up. And one day I'll do my discernment series again because I like it. And that's one of my principles. Don't discern through other people. It's really bad. It's really hurtful. Ask questions while you minister. I don't think everything needs to be supernatural, right? You understand? Like, everything doesn't need to be supernatural. A lot of things we need to do is just, like, ask questions. Like, hey, is this true? Or, hey, what about that? Hey, did you ever go to California? Or, hey, do you have something in your heart to plant a church? Or are you in the middle of turmoil with your marriage right now? Or do you have an issue in this particular area? Do you feel like there's any unforgiveness that you might have struggled with? Or is God bringing anything up to your heart? You just humbly ask questions with people. Not everything has to be supernatural. We overemphasize sometimes the supernatural nature of everything. Like, it's all got to be, woo, you know, because we get all excited because it's always supernatural. The prophetic is about getting the job done, not just about the supernatural component of it. The prophetic is supposed to open that door so that we can work with God and deal with the thing that causes change and transformation and embeds the word of God into somebody's heart so that it can grow up. You follow what I'm saying there? And so a lot of times as ministers or people that are trying to pray for people or trying to share specifically, we undervalue asking questions or just natural knowledge. We just undervalue that. So a lot of times when I'll pray for somebody, I'll say, hey, I want you to know, like, I knew this in advance. Like, I knew this, and I don't believe it influenced what I'm about to say, but I like to tell people what I knew. It keeps the integrity level high, and I believe if your integrity level's high, like, the anointing of God can come strongly on you as you minister. Like, that's just my opinion. If the integrity level goes down, then what anointing are you stepping under when you're praying for somebody? I'm just throwing that out there. So, anyways, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.